going to start now. Let's see, today's 13 January, 1989. I'm at Champion Paper Mill again with Mr. Kennedy, Mr. Wiggins, Mr. Williams. We're here to talk about their various work in the paper mill in the wood yard. They've all been in the mill. I think combined we've got people in this room who have been in the mill for over 120 years, all told. So I'm going to start now, I think, with Mr. Kennedy and just ask him to share his story of how he got involved in the mill and his reminiscences of things that have occurred in the past. When did you start at Champion?
I started in 1952, mm-hmm. February the 22nd. Hmm. And I worked in finishing shipping until they started number 4 paper machine. I went on a paper machine in April, mm-hmm. and I had an accident. 56, hmm. and I was off for about 22 months, and I've come to the lab. I worked 26 years mm-hmm. in the lab. They shut my job down, and I moved to the wood yard mm-hmm. in 1981, mm-hmm. and I've been there ever since.
And what do you do there?
I sharpen knives now, mm-hmm. and do all the handiwork I can.
Mm-hmm. Huh. What kind of accident did you have?
Paper machine accident. And the rollers and the calendar stacks. I lost an arm and the front part of my foot.
Hmm.
And I was off the 22 months. Yeah. And I had to be replaced into the lab.
Mm-hmm.
I stayed with it 26 years until they shut my job down when they started tearing down number 2 and mm-hmm. number 1 paper machine.
Mm-hmm. What does your job as a knife sharpener entail? What does your job as a knife sharpener entail? What do you do?
Well, I keep all the knives sharp mm-hmm. and just clean up mm-hmm. and answer a lot of questions for guys, young guys.
Oh, yeah?
It comes in. But I've enjoyed my work, mm-hmm. and I always try to better my work.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Where it'll prolong the life of the knives, mm-hmm. that the chippers, that we can get more cordage out of them.
So what kinds of knives do you sharpen?
Chipper knife, mm-hmm. and the one that cuts the wood for the chips
okay.
in the middle. And I sharpen re-chipper knives. That out in the field,
right.
and just work. That's all I
mm-hmm.
have.
Do you also sharpen the slashers?
No, I don't sharpen them, but I could
mm-hmm.
if I could get one to do something.
Oh, I see.
He got some cooking. He wants to farm them out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody wants us to farm them out. We want to bring them here. We farm them out now. The souls do. We got some people up in Camden, Alabama. Shop those.
We take those and they sharpen them?
Yeah.
Huh. What kinds of tools do you use? Do you use a grinder, a machine grinder?
Well, it's a Hanchy grinder. It holds 4 knives.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 15 knives in a set.
Hmm.
And I make 4 setups with the knives. Sharpen them all the same size,
mm-hmm.
and I have a mold that I pour Babbitt behind the knives.
Mm-hmm,
that
right.
Everything's uniform shape,
right.
and they don't have any hang ups or anything.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you work with other sharpeners in that?
No.
So
now, I do sharpen some knives, comes from converting, and Monsanto sends their knives up here
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Huh.
And I don't know where the bag mill sends their knives
mm-hmm.
now. But I used to get their paper knives mm-hmm. and sharpen those.
Hmm. So there was really not much of a chance to talk or with your
well,
co-workers except on...
like Bernie says, I have time to stop and chat with people. And I make coffee. Everybody comes in, drinks coffee.
Oh,
I got
yeah.
2 Coke machines. Everybody comes, gets their drinks.
Mm-hmm.
I talk with them.
Yeah. What kinds of things, you know, have... What kinds of... things you remember people talking about?
Well, just the good old days, you know, how we used to have to work hard. Mm-hmm. And you can tell these young guys how you used to go out of here off in a paper machine with water sloshing in your shoes, and it wasn't from a water hose.
Oh, yeah?
And a lot of these fellas here are familiar with the bull gang that we used to have here.
What's that?
Well, it was the labor gang. They changed it from the bull gang to the labor gang. And they used all these pipes underneath this ground here. Mm-hmm. Was put under by shovels, by manpower.
Yeah.
It didn't have this modern equipment thing. Mm-hmm. And you meet a lot of guys, you know, that you can reminisce with over the years that you've got, what things that you've done and how you used to have to work. And how the guys has got it now, you know.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of modern equipment in here now.
They have it a lot easier now.
It makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
If they would take care of it and work it like they ought to.
Oh, I see.
Amen.
Can you tell me any stories about, say, like some of the things that have happened between you and the younger guys that?
Well, no. I just explain it to them, and they don't believe what you're telling them. You know, they.
What do you mean? What do you tell them?
Well, you just tell them how you used to have to work and how you used to have to perform. And these guys, they think that you're something off on the wall, you know. Because
well, can you tell me, what do you mean by how much you had to work? Can you give me some examples?
Well, we
tell
come when we come in, we done an eight-hour job. We didn't have to back up to the pay window, so to speak, to get our money.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we left out of here, we know we had been to work.
Mm-hmm.
And these young guys now, they just don't make it like we used to, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And I get a lot of, well, I don't know what you would call it, people say, well, you handicapped. But I can do more with one hand than a lot of these guys can do with both hands. And I got Bernie and Wiggins and them to vouch for. It makes them jealous, I reckon, of the jobs that I can do.
Mm-hmm.
And they think, well, he's handicapped, you know. I am handicapped to a certain extent, but I put my day's work up against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'll shovel load for load for him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
he's right.
Yeah.
These young guys, like I say, you tell them, and they don't believe what you say, you see. And it's in knowing how to work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these young guys are right out of high school, and they just hadn't got the ability to get out there and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Which, all of us old guys, we do it, we think of what we're going to do before we do it, you see, and then we don't have no problems.
Mm-hmm.
But these young guys, they get out there and just fight it like fire, and 9 times out of 10, they tear up something before it's over with, you see.
Oh, really?
And we take our time, well, we do a day's work, and we don't tear up nothing. So.
Yeah. Well, can you give me an example, though, of what you're talking about? Because I have a fair understanding of what goes on in the mill, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But not enough of a one that when you say, well, we do a day's work, I say, well, yeah, I do a day's work, too, but I don't do it in the mill. And so can you give a little more specific and tell me what...
Well, like one of the foremen come down and tell you to do something. We just go ahead and get it done, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we have any leisure time, we can, the foreman usually comes around and see what you've done. And he may give us something else to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Which, us older guys, we don't complain about it.
Right.
We just get out there and do it, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. So it's as if the job for you is really the work. It's just all in a day's living.
Right.
It's just your day. That's what you do for life. That's what your life is. Whereas these other guys, you're saying for them is sort of back up to the window and then they cut and run.
Right.
And that's it. And then it's life is completely separate.
Well, they got a saying, looking for sundown and payday.
Looking for sundown and payday?
Yeah.
A relief. It's a relief now and a payday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You may come in and make you 8 hours,
mm-hmm.
but we used to come in and make 16. It didn't bother us, you know. And still, it still don't bother us to make 16.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys, if you say, your relief's not coming in tonight, do you want to make 16, you know, make another 8? Oh, we don't want to do that, you know. They don't plan for the future, you see. Mm-hmm. What money that you can make now in your young days, you can enjoy it when you get old. You see?
Right. Yeah,
I was going to
say
that. I think what KK is saying is the responsibility of doing a good job when you're on the job. Mm-hmm. And the satisfaction that you get at the end of a day by doing a good job. I mean, it's got to come from inside you.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow or another, the young people don't seem to feel that way
about
the job.
To your job.
Yeah.
They want the pay. Mm-hmm. You know, because the pay buys these little fast motor cars and all this kind of stuff. And they get out of there really looking for outside. Their interests seem to be more centered outward, you know, than it is on the job that they're being paid to do. Not all of them, but most of them.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a generation thing. I don't know. It's just the way it's the way the world is.
Is that why the organization has had to change the way it has to this in order to satisfy
I would think so.
Current working habits?
Sure.
Okay.
Looking at another workforce, a younger workforce.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is gravitating towards that. These guys here, you know, they come in and, boy, they can't rest until they do their job and do it well.
You're like some of the loggers I've been talking with then, who just really are, they're so dedicated, you know,
sure.
That they do it. They know when they're going to take a break. They know when they take a break. They also know that when they finish, they'll go back and they'll finish their jobs, you know. But, okay.
You know, we don't down the younger generation.
No.
Because generation, you know, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I was once young.
Right.
Part of the younger generation. But, you know, you develop habits.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to turn to you. You're next. Mr. Wiggins, you've been here.
Well, I started in 1946.
Uh-huh.
April the 9th.
God, y'all remember here the first day. That's great.
Right.
And so, how did you get into it? Was your family in it?
Well, I wasn't married at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I started in here, wood handling.
Mm-hmm.
Unloading wood out of box cars. Flat cars. They didn't have no shed or nothing. You just get the wood over the raid. You had flat cars for the start ready. They pull the flat cars out. Then they break it. Pull the box cars out and break it flat so you'd be out in the weather there.
Huh.
So that, you did have a shed over you loaded
right.
The box cars.
You just loading, unloaded it rain or shine?
Right.
Okay.
Because we had that raid here.
Yeah, it probably rained a lot on certain days.
Pull that wood for a good long time.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to have a crown, but they didn't hardly use the crown.
Hmm.
More the manpower.
Mm-hmm. That was unloading the box cars by hand, one by one by one by
right.
One, right.
With you and your partner was over what he had unloaded.
How did that work? Did one guy unload one timber, or did you have to have a bunch of guys on?
Oh, we had a bunch of them. We had about 40 some odd to the ship.
Okay. And how many would say, like, lift one tree?
Well, you had a lot of them. They had to quit. They weren't able to handle it.
Hey, Mr. Williams?
No, don't let me cut in.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think he's trying to tell you about the length of the wood. You're talking about 6 foot length. So
okay, they
were
the 6 foot length, so they had already...
Five, three.
Oh, okay. So basically one person could carry.
Five,
okay.
Feet, three.
Did you ever have contests or anything like that? You know, who could do it the fastest?
Well, we really took quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
See, that's the only way you're going to get a break. In other words, if I beat my partner, unload my head, so I can rest till he get through, then go to the next car.
Uh-huh. So
that's the only advantage you had. See?
Uh-huh. Right. See. What time did your day start?
Oh, maybe 8 hours.
8 hours.
Right.
But what time would you normally start in the morning?
6:30.
Right.
Okay.
And then drop dead around 2:30. And
right.
Pick
you
up
about
again.
Be dead about noon.
Yeah. Oh, God. What? The crews then, Bernie and I were talking about this earlier then, but you said that the crews in the woodyard were primarily black, right?
Right.
Yeah. And were there any, we had started talking about it, but didn't really get there. Were there any ways that actually the black workers, say, were able to communicate about
the white workers in sort of like a code or anything like that? Any special words you might have used that, in fact, management wouldn't have known about, wouldn't have understood, you remember?
Well, no, in a way, well, see, your job was separated. Because when you was hired as a laborer, you come in here as a laborer.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's food you got.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if somebody retired or died, you're still in the same in the same level.
Same job. Right. So basically you had no interaction whatsoever.
Right, there's no move up. No,
except
no
supervision.
Except for supervision.
Right.
Can you tell me about some of the bosses that you had?
Well, we had some rough ones.
Tell me about one.
I mean, some showing up rough ones.
Yeah? Tell me about some of them.
Yeah, get that wood in about how high this table is.
Yeah.
It's pretty rough for one man to have to wiggle his way out with.
Huh.
He sold a head two to the boxcar. He wasn't allowed to help nobody else to help him, just two fellas went together
on
time.
Right. Can you remember any particularly tough bosses that you might still talk about?
Well,
by name? Can you tell it by name?
Well, nobody of those had some what's called gum coal. That's hard wood. Mm-hmm. It'd been dried.
Gum coal?
Right, wood. You know, it'd been killed, it's been dried out.
Yeah.
He might have missed your question.
Yeah.
See, when you open that door up,
mm-hmm.
see, the fame, you done shifted that wood.
Right.
Yeah. I remember, buddy.
I thought you said cars.
Yeah, that's what I think so, too.
Yeah.
I remember, my buddy,
he opened up the door first, and the wood was already shifted when he cracked the door.
Mm-hmm.
It knocked him down on the chain when we putting the wood on the chain.
Mm-hmm. Huh. And you pull it off that way.
Right.
I was asking about tough bosses.
The
tough
bosses.
Like Willie Bush.
Oh, bosses. we had some of them.
Can you tell me about some of them? No,
you
really.
Know, you got to start talking Southern now. You got to say bosses.
Bosses?
That's how you missed.
This is Midwesterner in me. Just didn't cut in the mustard, I'm afraid.
Well, we had wood there, a fellow by the name of Bush. Well, he raided it, wants you to get a drink of water.
Really?
At the same time, to get you some water. It gets that hard. Yeah, he's rough.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you know Willie Bush, too?
Yeah.
Yeah, what was he like?
He was just a little dried up.
Weighed about 135 pounds.
Really? Oh, God.
And he was always after the men, you know, wanting to do more, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Got ready to fire somebody, put him on his shift.
He's a hatchet man.
Yeah.
Well, he was actually, I reckon you would call him a crew chief. He wasn't a boss man. He wasn't he was a boss man, but he didn't have any authority other. Well, now, he could get you fired back then, you know.
Oh, yeah?
But he was kind of one of them tough guys. You want to be tough, you know.
Yeah. But
I can remember a lot of them, they would talk about him when he was sort of a crew chief, and they had to haul the bark away then back down in the woods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, J.C. Daly was telling me he used to pull 16 hours and he'd be so sleepy, you know, he wouldn't remember where he put the dump back down on the truck or not, and he tore something up down there. And if they bent the trucks, they had to write out an accident report and all that, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was a mess back in those days.
Yeah.
The black people really did have a rough time getting the two ways back.
Mm-hmm. Did the crews in the yard ever have to work, say, with chain gangs from the prisons? Did they ever do that at the prison work? I don't even know if there's really any prison around here.
I don't think they ever did that here at this mill. Maybe in 19... I don't think we did it during the wartime.
No.
So
I had this mill.
Didn't work. Some German prisoners here one time.
No.
Other than work nobody in the chain gang.
No, no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's been a while.
I mean, at that point,
they worked a lot of women.
They did.
Back then, they had jobs, you know, they could handle.
Mm-hmm.
And they,
like what? Do you remember?
Well, some of them worked in finishing shipping, like they do now, and some of them worked back in the screen rooms and the pulp mills.
Mm-hmm.
They worked shift work, a lot of them did. And your lab used to be full women folks, and they've done, they were technicians and stuff, they've been tested. But,
the woodyard is a pretty hard place to be in.
Well, it, you used to, I used to stand in the window off number two and see the people going out, you know, out of the woodyard, and it would be, well, even after they quit having the box cars and the flat cars, you know, they throwed the wood off, it was still a lot of black people in the woodyard, and you could see them going out, and they would, sometimes they could be going by 30 minutes, you know, breast to breast, you know, and they would be wringing wet sweat because I know they worked all night, and it would be a bunch of them day and night, you know, be three shifts of them, which it was four shifts, but one shift was off all the time.
Yeah, traditionally, you know, it was hot, heavy, dirty work.
Yeah.
Wood pulling. So that's the job that the black people got when they come to that gate. And they weren't allowed to operate on the skill job. We even got a story to tell about how you got to be a crane operator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
How did you get to be a crane operator?
Well, I started out, you know, roping trucks and things, you know, putting the wood around the truck. So I went from that point. So when I used to work with the guy, you know, was operating before I started. Well, close as I could get was set the wall over the track. It wasn't allowed up in the crane. Couldn't go up in there at all, don't care how it rained. Well, I was, you know, I was roping. But started up in the crowd, and said, oh, you're going to have to go up under the crowd. After what?
Yeah. Under it?
Right. Oh. What allowed it, you couldn't get back to with the motor.
So how did you get in the crane?
So finally, when I, you know, worked up in this late 70s, early 70s, I mean. So finally got a chance to get the operating job.
Tell them about how you're sleeping that night
and
run that thing
with
nobody
living. Yep, that's what I first started. That's the only way I could learn. I had to learn at night, you see.
You had to learn it at night?
Right.
How did you practice?
Well, it's come to me. I just figured it out watching them run it, you see, in the daytime.
But didn't you, by God, it's pitch dark out, isn't it?
Right, but I made it.
Yeah, I guess you did. Did you, like, practice on anything to say, like, I'm going to, you know, try to pick this up, try to pick that up, and end up.
Oh, yeah, I had targets set up. Couldn't turn no lights on, because they ain't going to see me, see.
Right.
That's what made me so great. I'm pretty good now.
That's all right.
See, when you get in the daytime, you know you're going to be good.
That's right, God. Incredible. Did you really surprise?
You see what you were going to do.
Yeah, really, God.
All the way out there. Come here and listen to them.
Did you surprise anybody when they saw you working the crane for the first time? Like, how did you get that good?
That's right. Surprised all of them. I surprised Bobby, all of them.
Oh, yeah. What was it like when you saw him first operating a crane?
Damn, he's a natural. He's going to be one of the best.
Yeah.
He is.
So now I'm really proud of it. Now. I'm proud of the job.
Yeah. How high up are you?
Far as you can go.
Well, I can't go no further.
Really? Oh, well, so much for going to heaven.
Are you talking about height of the crane?
Well, the one I run, it's not too high, but I go up, of course, I run all of them. The one that got out of nine, about 60 feet, I believe, up in there.
Is that how high up you are,
60
feet?
You
can
stay
up. She was talking about how high up the line.
Yeah, that's what I first thought.
Yeah,
that's
right.
top of the line job.
Yeah, I heard.
He just waiting for another limb to grow out.
Right. Oh God. What about you, Mr. Williams? How long have you been at the mill? And how'd you get into it? I'll move the microphone over to you.
Well, I got into it that I guess it was a hard way. That but when I started here, that I wasn't gonna make for the week. When I started here, I wasn't gonna make but a week. That used to be the they didn't load them trucks like they load them now. You know, it used to be high in front. Mm-hmm. You see, high up in the front, you see, and it come down low behind. You see, and it wouldn't be much wood behind it, but all the wood would be on the front of the truck. And they didn't have trucks like they did now, you see. They just had them bobtail trucks, you know. It wasn't no tandem trucks. And so you and a man get on a truck together, you see. They unload it. He put me on the front, you see, and he get on the back. But he come up halfway on that, you see, and get what he going to get off it. You got that other to get, you see. And I done that for a week. I said, well, payday come, I'm going, you see. But when payday come, but I work 16 hours every day. Mm-hmm. I work 16 hours every day for a week. And our long week was, our six-day week was on day shift then. You know, our time went in on Sunday. I mean, that was the beginning of the week, you see. Sunday was the beginning of the week, and we got 6 days. And so I evidently had 12 days in, you know, the following week. And I had never made that much before. And so I said that I believe I'd make another week, so I've been trying to make it ever since.
When did you start now? When did you start?
It was in 1945, okay. 15th of June, 1945.
What's
that? We talking about his age. Yeah. He came in when he was 15. You know.
Oh, that's right. You're the one.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't 16. Yeah. I wasn't 16.
You know. 15 when you came in.
Yeah. Was 15 when I came.
When you were working those jobs, say, you know, up on the trucks, did you basically, if you wanted to talk to each other, say, if you just want to tell somebody, you know, you better pick up that up, pick it up a little higher. Did you just yell, pick it up a little higher? Or did you actually do something with your head or with your hands or something?
Well, we get a lot of sign language, you know.
Yeah.
We give a lot of sign language even now.
Really?
Well, I said now, I mean, it don't be much of it done now. I mean, because, it, you know, people stay together. But now, we done a lot of sign language, even on a crayon, like roping them trucks or something like that. You had signs that you know, give people, you know. I mean, for your tighten up, you see, you know.
What would you do if you wanted them to tighten up the rope?
Well, I mean, I think we talking about a long time ago.
We talking
about a long time ago, you see. You know, but you had a lot of signs. Now, one sign that I think we still use, you see. I mean, that if it's something other that is okay, you see, you know, you do that. Well, I mean, you know, I can't move
your hand.
Move your hand.
Your thumb
out, and that means everything's okay?
Yeah, I mean, that's okay, you see. Okay. I mean, if you tell me something other than I understand what you said, and you see, okay, I'm going to do what you want done, you see. Right.
Okay. Huh.
And, it's just, you know, several things that is kind of a sign language, because now this, you know, late generation, we kind of got away from that, you know, signs, like you see. And I mean, in the operation of the wood room down there, that you had different signs for different things, you see. Mm-hmm. You know, a sign like that is your jack ladder cable off. And one like this in his bark belt.
If you wave your finger across, I'm trying to translate it for the tape, you literally extend your index finger and wave it to the left and the right.
Yeah,
that
that's
means
right. A limit switches off your jack ladder down there. You got a limit switch on it.
Okay.
I mean, it could be trip, you see, and you wave your hand like that, you see, which, I mean, that's still being used, you see. I mean, that's been used.
That's what
cures
the wood after the barking.
Oh, is that what that thing's called? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And it'll trip the switch off down there, so now that can still be used, you see. But like a bark belt choke up or something other like that, you give a sign like this, you see.
Across your middle.
Right? Across the middle, you see. I mean, two or three or whatever, you see.
And then
you know
you
what I mean?
Indicate with your fingers so you can do something
right.
Like that. And
well, you're not close to this man, but he know what you're talking about,
right.
You see.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You've given him the signal that he know what.
Yeah, do you still use that?
Yeah,
you
use that.
You
still use that? Yeah, you use that, you know. I mean, you know. You use that. You know, that's when you're not close, you see. But
right.
People done worked it out now where they could kind of be pretty close, and so you could just tell.
They don't be in the control room with the operator.
Right, that's right. You see. When
you won't have to throw him a sign.
You don't have to throw him a sign go when you're right there, you see.
Right.
You know?
Now, what about you? Do you have any way of communicating with people down on the ground except through radio?
Well, most of it was radio.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to do anything anymore. No real things like that. What about, actually, I want to go turn this over.
What that is, though?
What'd you just do? Well, I guess I have for Ripple. But I will for
people got one in the wood room.
Well, which one's that?
You walk out, you know, you go like this. And
feet of chain.
Come on, your feet are changed.
Number two feet are changing. Just point up like that.
Okay.
Yeah, your feet are changing. So, yeah. You know.
Two fingers up and then one back for the chain. So, there's all sorts of things like that. And you're saying that those things now aren't being used as much by the young guys, but are they still? They're still being used by the people who've worked in the mill longer. Is that what?
You got a whole different situation, really. Well, I say a whole different situation. I don't guess it is a whole different, you know, but it's quite a bit of different, you know. And because I operate in the soil, I mean, they usually be right shoulder to shoulder, and so, you know, you don't have to, you know, you can just tell them what you want to see, not give a sign.
It's quicker to say stop. And,
you know, like when... a chipper shoot choke, or when you're going to choke down the chipper to change knives or something other, you see, you usually, you know, do that and do that. I mean, that's the same.
Just put anybody, the hand on your throat or...
That's right. I mean, that's for changing knives, you see. That's this to choke it down, you see. You know, in other words, it's two signs, really, you see. This to choke it down, and we're going to change knives, you see. You told them two things.
And then it looks like you're pumping a
that's right.
car tire up.
Right. Right.
Okay, and that's time to change the tire.
Ratchet hand.
Okay.
I had to learn that language then when I went down there.
Yeah.
They taught it to
him. How did you teach it to him? Was it something, you know, you didn't sit him down and say, now this means that. Basically, you waited for something to get messed up.
Yeah, and I would look, you know, I could see what they were doing. I went on the Osiris, so I didn't get a chance to do any of the jobs. So I had to do a lot of watching. These two here were instrumental in teaching me a lot of things.
Really?
And back years ago, I had a deaf and dumb man that worked in the wood yard.
Oh, really? A deaf and dumb man?
Right. Uh-huh. And he more or less just went by vibration of his body.
Really?
And he was a number one drum puller.
Who was that?
Dummy.
What was his name?
Well, I always called him Dummy, but his name was Connie Will.
Right.
Yeah.
But he was a great guy. I mean, he could talk to you. Mm-hmm. You do him the sign language, you see. And you could talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to work in a store at Molina, and he would come in, you know, and he just, you know. And he could tell you what he wanted on the shelf, you know. He loved to drink wine, and he loved to smoke cigars. And he always had a nice car. He always wanted that car serviced, the oil changed, gassed up, and greased. That was just about every week that Dummy had that done.
Wow.
He kept a good...
Kept a good car. Were there any other characters? It seems like you three must be the characters in residence down there, but were there any other characters that you know, remember like that? You know, like that guy or anybody else? Just anybody who really you remember real well that you worked with?
You wouldn't be talking about somebody dead, would you?
Sure, why not?
I used to have an uncle. It worked in the knife shop. I used to visit him.
You had an uncle, yeah?
Yeah, and it was three guys in the knife shop then. They worked around the clock, but they didn't have the machine that I'm operating today. It was all manually tightened down by wrenches. And one of them was Albert Maddox, which that was my uncle. And Preacher Patrick, and I remember Billy Barrow when he first started in the knife grinder, which that's the job that I got now. But I used to visit those fellas. I was in the lab department, but I was chip testing. And I would walk over on day shift or 3 to 11 because there's always someone in there, you know, and talk to them. I'd be on my way to get a test or something.
Who is Preacher Patrick? One of the things I've been wondering about. Well, is there any, like...
he was from Molina.
Uh-huh.
He lived just below me there. He was a... well, he was kind of an elderly guy when I went to the wood yard. And I believe he retired something like 68. I believe he retired. And they started cutting...
the knife grinders out then. And as they retired, you know, and then it got to where one man, they had done a lot of work in the wood yard, and one man could take care of the knife grinding jobs if he worked 6 days a week, you know. But that's the way it's set up now.
And this guy, he's just, but was he a preacher?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
One of the things I was wondering, especially in the paper industry and the forestry, is if there were, in fact, any preachers whose congregations were predominantly people in the mill or people in the woods, and if, in fact, there were any special prayers or special burial kinds of customs done or anything like that?
No.
I was curious if there was that. I know one logger I talked with, you know, he said when he does pray, it's praying for safety. But that's the key thing, and I know that that's the watchword now.
Well, a lot of us do that.
Yeah, yeah, I bet. Yeah.
Holy
mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there that kind of, in the wood yard, do you still, is it, I don't know how to really say it, y'all, everybody's pretty tight down there? Or is there like a split between the older generation and the younger generation?
No, not exactly. The older bunch tries to teach the younger bunch, you know, the safety factors and stuff that goes on. It needs to be put into work, you know, where they won't get hurt. Yeah. While the older guys looks out for the younger guys, keep from getting hurt.
Do you ever, when a new guy comes in, though, do you ever try to initiate them in any way?
Like, no.
No shaving stretchers?
More or less. Well, we have two guys that goes around with these new guys for a couple of days and shows them everything that's got to be done, you know, that needs to be done. And then they turn them loose on the jobs.
So you don't do anything like send them off for a left-handed wrench?
No sky hooks.
No sky hooks? You used to, though, huh?
Right. Well, we used to on the paper machine. We'd send them off for a bucket of tinsel, you know, because we couldn't get the tinsel up.
Right.
You know.
Or a bucket of vacuum is what I've been hearing about.
We'd do stuff like that.
You didn't do anything like that? You don't do anything like that now?
No.
What?
It's no
what?
No monkey playing.
No
going
monkey
on.
Playing now, huh?
Well, I was just reminding me. We had one guy used to send the boys up on the drum. He wouldn't send them for anything like, you know, tinsel, and all that kind of stuff. But he'd send them up there on the job, and he'd eat their lunch.
Oh yeah.
Oh, big boy.
Yeah.
No. Guy get back looking for his lunch. Finally.
JC brought in a whole bag full of fried fish and he got back with a bag full of bones.
Eat up the fish.
We fed a few people X-Lax out here on chocolate cookies and give them chocolate milk, you know, made out of X-Lax, you know.
Uh-huh, okay.
Stuff like that.
Shake a beer like that.
That went on.
That went real well, yeah. Gosh.
One guy in the screen room, he was all the time, he never would bring nothing, you know, to drink or eat. Mm-hmm. And he would always get into the guy's hot chocolate. And they fixed him up with the chocolate X-Lax, you know, milk, you know.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I've been hearing about that. Apparently they did that some of the paper guys years ago did that to somebody with a roast beef sandwich.
Well, most of that goes on around your paper machines, you know, and where it's a big bunch, you know, working together. But like we work, we kind of apart, but yet we together, you know.
Mm-hmm. So in the wood yard, you would send somebody out at one time for a skyhook or something like that.
If you thought you needed one, you might send it.
Yeah, of course. Do you remember doing anything like that?
Well, we have done, you know, certain things. But we used to be bad about naming people, nicknaming folks.
Oh, yeah? What kinds of nicknames?
That was the bad part of them. They called one guy Flathead. You know, he was flat-headed, you see.
Uh-huh.
He named him flat-headed. Okay. And,
literally,
and called a guy Spike Jones, how he walked, you know what I mean?
Spike Jones?
Yeah, you might not know nothing about Spike Jones.
I just remember the music.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, the music of Spike Jones. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he named him Spike Jones. And he used to call Wiggins him, what was it, Fat Jones or Muffet Jones or something?
Fat Jones.
Used to call him some kind of Jones. But when it got around to me, they called me Little Robert, but that was behind my back. Didn't
Little
they call,
Robert?
Yeah, they called me Little Robert. But they called me Little Robert behind my back, you see, you know. I was little, you know,
yeah.
And they always called me Little Robert, you see.
Uh-huh.
But when they get to my face, he was Robert.
Oh,
you
know?
You that name behind his back.
Yeah, Little Robert.
And what was your name? And what was your name again?
Fat Jaws.
Fat Jaws.
Yeah, Muffin
Jaws.
I can remember.
You're
not going to
say
that. That's been a long time ago.
Did you ever nickname him?
Well, now, we named him Volkswagen.
Volkswagen.
Yeah, because his stomach sticks well. We call him. We've got several names.
Oh, please do.
Down there, we got one. Ed McCormick. We call him Robin Hood because he shoots deer. You know,
okay.
With a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay.
At 100 yards.
At 100 yards.
He might call him something else besides Robin Hood if he shoots me at 100 yards.
But we've got I'm called the Woodyard Hog. Oink 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 oink. You see, because I used to raise hogs in,
okay.
At home. So Alton Gay, we call him Little Babbitt Thief because he's the one that named me Oink. You see, well, he's the one that called me. Oink. My nephew told him. And they call me Oink in the woodyard.
Okay, and he's now Little Babbitt
Hog.
Thief. Yeah.
He's my Little Babbitt Thief.
Right.
When they first started up over there, they had to bring their nines, which they just stopped this week. They'd come and get my Babbitt, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then he never would return it back, which he'd only come twice. And since the hardwood system's been up. But he'd take my Babbitt and wouldn't bring it back, so I just named
it. Now, the Babbitt is the lead.
Well, it's the Babbitt in the nines.
Right, it's that lead piece that fills the
right,
underside?
Right.
Okay.
No, it's between the bar and the, your neck.
Okay. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. Cause
she's
going
to see that. She's going down there with you.
Oh, she is.
I'd like to if you don't mind. I won't take any. I've been asked pretty much not to take any pictures, so I'm not. But I went to another mill and we got to see what they were talking
about. But
we
have
right
one guy, Eddie Palmer. They call him Cotton Top, but I named him the Goat Man because he was on the grease truck. And every time we had an empty jug, he would always get it and hang it on the grease truck. Years ago, we used to be a goat man come through on a mule or with a wagon and a bunch of goats pulling it. And he always had tubs and stuff hanging on. That's why I named him the Goat Man.
Goat Man, right.
They called him something else, didn't they? Short Dog.
Short Dog.
Short Dog?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And we got one, the guy that's working with Mr. Wiggins today is... his name's King, but we call him Pud, because he used to eat pud so much, eat pudding so much.
Pudding, yeah.
Is that what I got?
Yeah.
What's his nickname?
Don't tell me.
Well, now don't get mad, Bernie, but they call you to your back, Buckwheat.
I heard about that.
Give him a rough name.
Yeah. He was... used to play in the comedies, you know, on TV. You
yeah,
know,
I know Buckwheat.
Well, that's why they named Bernie Buckwheat.
You call him Spanky, you know. Oh, God.
Don't forget about the Bug Eye.
Well, yeah, we got a colored guy down there. Is we call him Bug Eye because he's kind of pop-eyed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Call him Bug Eye. What's
your Slow Max? His name is
Slow Max.
Slow Max.
Slow Max Wiggins. And,
that's not you, is it?
Cold Dog.
And got another guy, Musclehead, that's Dallin Black, you know.
Mm-hmm. SG.
Yeah. Anytime that anybody comes to the woodyard, I say within 30 days, he's got a nickname. Somebody calls him something. Which you may not never know it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got.
I need to think what you guys call me when
and
I.
And we got a a Mexican, which is Mike Miranda. They call him Taco Kid. You know.
Oh.
They've got several.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many of these guys know what their nicknames are?
Everybody.
Everybody. Okay.
Has there ever been any problems?
Well, you rub the hair the wrong way sometimes. Yeah. It kind of irritates you.
Especially if they don't have any.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to name it.
Uh-oh. What?
No, I was talking about what you said, especially if they don't have any. I think about my bald spot. Thing.
Oh, you ain't got no bald hair. Look at that.
You're in good shape.
But one thing about it, hair won't grow on concrete or a busy street.
Okay. Okay. Huh.
Some of them, that's the only thing they know them by is their nickname. That's what everybody really? Calls them that constantly. That's what they want to be called.
Mm-hmm. Is it if they want to keep like a separate identity? They just would they call them that, say, on the street, outside?
Right.
Yeah.
They would. Okay.
Yeah, you seen some of these guys, you'd call them that on the street?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But now, it's in Booger. I don't ever call him Booger. I call him Walker. Because one time that I was working with a man, he had real bad eyes. And everybody called him Bad Eye behind his back. I thought they called him Bad Eye to his face. And I call him Bad Eye to his face. I like to be in trouble. That's right. I call him Bad Eye to his face. So, you know.
Yeah.
When it gets to them eyes, and I just say Walker, you know. I don't say Bug-Eye.
You sort of use something that's completely the opposite.
Well, Bug-Eye has been Bug-Eye ever since he's
right,
been in the
meeting.
And he'll answer to it.
Yeah, he answered to it.
Hmm. Yeah, he calls himself Bug-Eye.
Yeah.
Well.
Think you got something?
Yeah, I think so. And now